after having rid of the horrible crimes of King David against Bathsheba, Uriah, and all of Israel in 2 Samuel chapter 11, that chapter ends by saying, "But the thing that David had done displeased or troubled the Lord." This is not the end of the story. Between the end of chapter 11 and the repentance shown in chapter 12, at least 9 months have passed, and a baby boy has been born into the house of David. But something else has been going on in that 9 months. It wasn't all bliss and baby showers. David recounts it for us in Psalm chapter 32. Listen to what it says in verse 3. "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." Notice what David is saying. When David was under the conviction of his sin, yet was still quiet about his sin, he was consumed. He was racked with guilt of his crimes. He thought the cover-up would alleviate his soul. If he could just get away with it, then he wouldn't have to speak of it any longer. But he forgot the convicting work of the word of the Lord. He felt the weight of his sin pushing him further and further to the depths of despair. When he refused to acknowledge the depths of his sin, his body ached and deteriorated. He had very little strength to face day after day after day. You know, we could easily say that David was in the throes of depression. He was in mental and spiritual anguish over what he had gotten away with. He was sorrowful, soaking his bed with tears at night. But this was not complete repentance. Tears alone is not proof of repentance. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. "For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I don't regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through this. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." We see here that Paul acknowledges that to be grieved does not automatically equal biblical repentance, but only if it's a godly grief will it lead to repentance. So there is a type of worldly grief, or a grief that's not a working of God upon your life, and that type of grief doesn't work repentant, but it eats away slowly at your soul, leading to death. Think for a minute of Peter and Judas. Both denied Jesus. Both betrayed Jesus. Both suffered under the heavy hand of grief, but only one of them was suffering under godly grief that led to biblical repentance. The other died in his worldly grief. So my friends, we must be able to discern within our own lives, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the difference that exists between sorrow and true repentance. Tears over sin, conviction over sin, even confession of sin does not equate to biblical repentance. Those are all lead-ups to repentance, but they can also be evident in those that never truly repent. How many people do you know who have cried over a particular situation that they have caused, or have been sorrowful over a circumstance brought on by his or her sin, and yet, after the tears, after the initial emotional response, after the comforting hugs, the same action prevails with no remorse? Many times the sorrow is there because a person is simply caught in their sin. Many times tears are there because the person knows they have disappointed a significant person in their own life. Sorrow can be present for a host of reasons, but tears alone does not equal repentance. Think about this. How many revivals over the last 30 years have you seen take place with people coming forward, weeping at the altar, and they show up for the next couple of weeks to church and then they disappear? So do you, dear brother and sister, know the difference in your own life between tears alone and biblical repentance? As you think about this and consider this, and as you pray about this, also please pray for Michael and Sharon Quillman, our missionaries in Zambia. And also remember the Kasubi LifeWord broadcast that's heard throughout Tanzania, Niger, and Congo.